Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We move it, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
You there, Chris?
Marshall, you hear me? Marshall, you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. All right, I don't know what the hell happened. I'm not going to try to guess, but you can still hear me, right?
Now, we're good, yeah. Yep.
We're good. All right. Okay, so anyway, I think something happened with my Skype and the mic was on a different thing, and so you couldn't hear me, but I could hear you and I could hear the music. So usually I know right away if something's wrong if I don't hear the intro music, but that was kind of crazy. Anyway, we are back. It really won't matter because it'll just catch right up to it. It won't have these long gaps of space or anything like that. And you can still hear me, right?
Yeah. We're good to go, brother.
What about right now? Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure everything was on the same page here. It's like, oh, no. All right. Cool. So, anyway, we are – okay. We're good. God, that scared me for a second. Okay, so anyway, it is the College Ball Show. We are back. Of course, you can check out the live stream right here at blogtalkradio.com/ropeitoverradio. We do it weekly, and we'll take this College Ball Show all the way through football, all the way through college basketball, and all the way to the NBA playoffs, literally all the way till like a handful of days in July, when free agency starts to pop off. Of course, other sources to check out the podcast, both the Rope It Up Radio and the College Ball Show, will be Apple Podcast, a.k.a. iTunes. You can rate and review the show there. Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn. Basically, anywhere you like to listen to the pods, there's a great chance that the College Ball Show will be available for you. Follow on Twitter at Rope It Up Radio as well. So here we are, week six. Now, we're not going to dig crazy deep into week five just because, you know, I mean, we literally have games going on as we speak. And it was funny because I'm sitting here talking to myself at the start of the show when no one can hear me, but I had forgotten for some strange reason that I thought it was a 2:30 game, that Iowa State in Oklahoma. And boy, was I wrong, because we are, you know, we're still in the third quarter barely, but it's 24-24. Oklahoma has the ball. And I was saying earlier that there are some teams that are basically in games that they're favored to win clearly. I mean, I did kind of think Ole Miss would at least – give a little something to Auburn. That's not the case. End of the third, 41-10. And all of a sudden, Auburn has found their offense, Marshall. They are back to being an offensive juggernaut, at least for now. Georgia is just handling Vanderbilt 38-7. Penn State, at the end of the third, just went up on Northwestern 24-0. Clemson ahead of Wake 28-0 as well. So those are kind of the opening scores. But like I said, we're going to keep an eye on that 24-24 game, Oklahoma State against Iowa State, the Cyclones. So we'll definitely keep you posted. But we will talk a little Week 5. But like I said, we don't want to spend a crazy amount of time on it just because, you know, we're already a week removed from it. We're trying to get our schedules, you know, tightened up so we can get an early week show or whatever. Sometimes it just doesn't work and we have to do a Saturday show, and there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of games from Week 5, and we will break down some of the important games for this week. We definitely have a couple to talk about, that's for sure. Even a game like Miami versus Florida State, you know, you really can't let that, how Florida State's doing early on in the season, you really can't necessarily, you know, go into that too much, look into that too deep, because when rivalry games come around, they tend to bring out the best of them. And a couple of games that were supposed to be good or were very good, we already had covered because we did it last Saturday too, and there were some good Friday night games. It's just all kind of coming back to me. Just to kind of run through a couple of games, though, Wisconsin beats Northwestern 33-24. That was my against the spread. I thought that they could sneak under that 12 points or whatever, or 14.5 points or whatever it was, but they did. Oklahoma State and Texas Tech put on a show, 41-34. That was one of the most entertaining games from last week, in my opinion. And it doesn't get any better for LSU. The LSU Tigers go down to Troy last week. That's right, I said it, Troy. They went down to the University of Troy, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I'm actually going to check that out right now. It was, I think, the second worst, if you're looking at, like, you know, being favored in odds and all that, the second worst loss in the last 40 years, I believe, is what it was. Yeah, it's the second worst point spread defeat in the last 40 years. And they also had a streak broke from Troy that was 49 straight non-conference unranked victories. Like, you got to get those. So that was a shocker, although I guess you can't be completely shocked with the squad this year. Another thing that kind of – well, actually, you know what? I'm just going to kind of pass it to you and kind of let you talk about a variety of things. But LSU, man, it's rough, dude. It's rough for them right now. And it's been rough. You know, last year was really rough. Even the year before, they finished good, but it was still like there was moments in the season where you're like, man, I guess the writing had been on the wall. And then last year, they chalked it up on the wall 100%. But what'd you think of some games last week? Like I said, that Texas Tech-Oklahoma State game was fun as hell to watch, man.
Yeah, that was a beautiful game. I think that Texas Tech, the writing was on the wall at the start of the year for Cliff Kingsbury. We like to talk a lot about how the SEC coaches are on the hot seat this year. Texas Tech's coordinators, I guess you'd say like bosses or school officials, basically told Kingsbury, you got to have a good year or you're fired. And they're not becoming like a powerhouse on defense, but they're actually playing defense to where like they're like getting turnovers and winning games. And, they played well and their defense kept them in that game against the Oklahoma State. They had chances there in the fourth quarter where the game was either tied or they had the ball and they were down one possession. and Oklahoma State steps up with a win. But I'm with you. That was a very competitive game. It's just kind of a rare change to see a Texas Tech team play defense. And what do you know? Now they're winning games, Chris. So I thought that was a fun game to watch. And my other, I guess, enjoyable game last weekend was Wake Forest and Florida State. Obviously, I don't think we talked much Wake Forest on here, but that was a super fun game to watch, just for kind of the having the upset mindset in my head. I was like, oh, you know, it'd be kind of cool if Wake Forest won. Like, they're off to a hot start this year. They've been undefeated. Florida State is trying to get their new quarterback's feet wet, but their offense is pretty lackadaisical, I think would be a polite way to say it. And the kind of the kicker of the game was Wake Forest has the ball on about their own 10-yard line after a Florida State punt with about a minute to go. They get super, super conservative, and basically they went, like, dive, draw, like, out pass, and then they punt the ball back. And Florida State's quarterback, who basically hadn't thrown a good pass all game of a deep threat, they roll out for, like, a little tight end pop pass, and tight end was covered. Quarterback just let it rip, and 50 yards later they catch a touchdown pass. And it was like, wow, the finally, I guess, the quarterback stepped up and made a big play when he had to. But it was just kind of cool to see someone press, you know, Florida State. Obviously, you being a Miami fan, you've been used to hating that team for a long time, and it's kind of always been Florida State or Miami as, you know, two of the top powerhouses, and Florida State's had a decent run here for a while. So for an up-and-coming Wake Forest team to push them to the very end, that was a pretty enjoyable game to watch. You know, besides that, battle on Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, you know, we didn't have any crazy super dramatic games. I do feel bad. Lastly, before I toss it back to you, for one of my friends, she is a diehard Tennessee fan. And, man, that keeps just getting worse and worse. It's like they're just pouring more and more fire and gasoline in a tank together, and it's just continuously blowing up, Chris. And to parlay into that or throw it back to you, Iowa State just scored a touchdown to go up 6, extra point pending on Oklahoma, 30-24. When we started the show, it was 24-24. Iowa State had just scored and scored a 2-point conversion, and Oklahoma missed a field goal. Came down my thoughts on Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. So Iowa State scores a touchdown, 2-point conversion. They play defense, get the ball back, force a field goal. Oklahoma shanks a field goal, and now Iowa State just had a 60 or 70-yard touchdown pass. So Iowa State currently up 34-20. So we got ourselves a hell of a game here live to talk about as we do our show. Yeah, I would say those are my main takeaways. I think there's quite a few SEC coaches who maybe won't make it through the season. I know with you being my podcast partner for a long time, you're not a huge fan of in-season firing, but I think some of these things are starting to get so bad where an in-season option might have to be the choice to stop the bleeding for some of these SEC programs, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, stop the bleeding, though, you know what I mean? Like, it stops the bleeding, but I don't know. I understand that sometimes it works. I think it's case by case. I think it's case by case, you know, because sometimes I think it's what you've done at the actual university. You know what I mean? The reason why I was so against Les Miles is because look at the success he had. You know, they could have easily just let him finish the year, you know, that type of thing. But I'm not totally against that. I mean, I'm against it a month in the season or something like that. But you don't really see that in college sports. You know what I mean? That's more of a pro. That's really a pro, you know, hockey and basketball as far as, you know, a hand like 15, 20, 30 games will go by and you'll see somebody get fired. That's just nuts to me. And it's kind of more of a slap in the face to what's going on in your, you know, you should have known if you were so knee jerky to get rid of somebody. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of it at the college level per se. but it really, it is kind of case by case, you know?
I think, Chris, I bet a lot of the times the schools that do it midseason don't want to probably, but I think sometimes the pressure from the fan base is so high, it literally doesn't give you a choice. It's in a perfect world. It's not exactly the decision the AD wants to make, but he's like, well, we keep getting smoked. The fan base is continuously complaining, you know, the media, whatever circle of media you're hearing continues to rise. I think the fan pressure can sometimes be just as important or more important to cause an in-season firing more so than the product on the field, or maybe it's kind of the perfect combination. But I do think the fan base and media pressure normally are a pretty dramatic increase to cause the midseason firings.
Yeah, that's very true. Oh, I got some weird feedback. Whoa, what's going on? I got some crazy feedback. It just... What the heck? Are you hearing that feedback?
Hi.
Whoa.
Nothing.
Weird. All right. Can you still hear me right now?
Yep. Yeah, we're good on my end.
All right. That was weird. I just had some crazy feedback, and I didn't really do much. It's kind of funny how computers are and stuff that just be like, actually, we need you to test that. And you're like, why? You've never asked me to test that speaker ever. You know, and that's basically what happened. It's like, what are you talking about? Like, it's just so weird. But anyway, like you said, this would be a pretty big freaking upset here. And Oklahoma just has a way, and I'm not going to jinx them, but they have a way to just somehow screw it up. Usually it's actually early in the season, and then all of a sudden they'll win 10 straight or something like that. So we'll keep an eye on that. As far as the home front, Minnesota just didn't play well enough last week against Maryland. And that, you know, it's kind of funny because I was saying, like, which Maryland squad will show up? You know what I mean? Will it be, you know, one that kind of, well, they lost their quarterback, so they did have some issues for a while. You know, they did have some issues for a while. And I don't know. They just they needed a little time to get going or whatever off of that, you know, first big game that they had where they put up a ton of points and all that. And I was wondering, you know, I wonder which squad. Is it going to be the squad that put up 51, you know, on Texas? Or is it going to be the squad that kind of looks the part, I guess you could say, or looks the part of what they've
sure.
been the last handful of years when they, I think it was Central Florida, who was a good squad, actually one of those, you know, non-power five, you know, squads. But yeah, they just didn't play good enough. They turned the ball over at bad times. One of the picks was poor timing, poor, you know, toss and everything like that. Another pick was one of those where the wide receiver lets it bounce off his hand, or actually kind of caught it with his chest. He didn't use his hands enough. Caught it with his chest. It bounces off. It goes right into a defender, and that was right at the 5-yard line. So they just couldn't run the ball that well at all. They had plenty of chances to do it, you know, but they just didn't get it done. They didn't play well enough to win that game, and that's just something that, you know, the Gophers, you got to play pretty good at least. You can't just play really poor. And if you're not running the ball well, and then you're getting gashed on the run, which is something that hasn't happened in a while, and that's something that definitely happened. I mean, they gashed. You know what, but yeah, the turnover battle and sometimes the turnover battle is, it's just not a big deal. It doesn't play into it because it matters when it happened and all that, but it seems like the timing on the turnovers is what really hurt the Gophers. And now they're going against an improved Purdue squad that looked pretty good against Michigan a couple weeks back. And I don't know. You know, I really don't know what's going to happen there. Michigan State got a nice victory, 17-10 over Iowa. I thought they kind of came out of the start of the game. They came out of the gates a little slow against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame, for whatever reason, that game was just ready to play. They tried to get back in that game, and they just couldn't. Notre Dame pretty much handled them in the second half. But Michigan State slowly but surely looking like a squad that is like good, very good, not great, not top level or elite or anything like that. Something that we could put that label on before, but they're coming off that rebuilding year, and we'll see how that goes. Oregon looked their part, 45-24 over Cal. That game kind of got open late. UCLA beats Colorado 27-23. That was a decent game as well. A&M managed to get by South Carolina. That was kind of a crossroads game for both programs this year anyway, because they both need to keep winning. South Carolina does seem more improved, though, from the last couple of years where they've the old ball coach leaves, and they have had a struggle. There's no doubt about it. Is there anything else you want to talk about last week? I mean, I'm sure we may dip and dive into it as we're breaking down games and whatnot. Anything else you got for us, sir?
I'll just add 2 cents on a couple things you said, and then I'd be happy to move on with you. Thankfully, I cannot report a Missouri game last week because they had a bye. God knows what might happen this week. At least they didn't lose by 40 this week, Chris, and didn't give up 50 points on defense, but they didn't play. So
baby steps, I will say, it's all about baby steps.
You always find optimism. I will say I did bet Cal. That did not turn out to be so profitable for me. Cal actually did have a chance to cover later in that game. I got them plus 18.5 when I did a live bet, so I got a few more points than the original. But realistically, that game would have probably been 65 or 70 points for Oregon, because when their quarterback, their first string, was in, they were moving the ball up and down the field like it was like middle school versus high school. I was honestly super impressed. I had not seen Oregon play yet this year, and Cal's defense had beaten Ole Miss and beat North Carolina as underdogs and played good against USC. So I thought that, they were respectable, and they got a defensive-minded coach who was the defensive coach of Wisconsin last year. But, it was just – you talk about gashing. There was no stopping Oregon's offense at all. And on one of the plays, I think it was the third touchdown Oregon scored, their quarterback ended up dislocating his shoulder. He took a pretty tough hit into the end zone. So when the backup came in, the game got a little more fair and in control. But Oregon's offense looked super good to me for that quarter and a half. But now, they have a tough game tonight with their backup. So just thought I'd throw that in at 2 cents. And then you'd mentioned the who else you mentioned? You talked about South Carolina, Texas A&M. I watched that one too because I bet A&M. That was tough to watch. I would not have watched that, but if I did not have money on it, it was two pretty basic offenses. And I will say, if you are a basic offense and you're about to play Bama this week, you should be a little scared if you're an A&M fan. I know they got a sick home field advantage and all that good stuff, but I'd heard during the game that one of the announcers talked about how, Texas A&M really doesn't want to run their quarterback that much, because he's a freshman, and if he gets hurt, they really don't have a third stringer. And it's like, how are you really going to manage plays, because the dude's not a passer? Like, when we watched that Texas A&M-UCLA game, you had the quarterback who could pass for A&M that got hurt, then you had this kid who's supposed to run, and now they're scared to run him because they don't want him to get hurt. And it's like, dude, now you got Bama. So you got a freshman rock quarterback that can't make passes, and you're going against Bama? Oh, boy. Maybe it's South Carolina, but that could be a little scary. And lastly, I guess to cap off my week, the one game I did feel in my head was a for-sure lock, and my dumb self didn't bet it, was Clemson -7 at Va Tech. And I guess in my head I thought there's no way they're going to lose. They've already been tested a couple of games this year. I know Virginia Tech and Knight's a crazy place, but that quarterback, Brian, you know, he beat Auburn. He beat Louisville. I mean, who's to say he can't go into Bot Tech and win? And the score makes that game look a little close, I guess, 31-17. But just from the way that game started, the way Clemson moved the ball, if you were a Bot Tech fan, I don't think you ever really had a chance. So I know Bama's been murdering people, and they deserve the credit, rightfully so. But that Clemson quarterback, Kelly Bryant, and that defense is, that's legit, Chris. And I don't think you can find a more true road-tested team than you've had already this year with Clemson. They've had a very tough schedule, and they've been kicking butt the whole way while doing it.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think it was three out of the last four had been ranked, and they're looking good, man. I mean, that defense is looking good. Everybody, they definitely are the most tested. I think that's fair to say, 100%. There's really no doubt about it. You know, Thursday is kind of falling apart for college football. They still have the games. But obviously, since the NFL, I think we mentioned that show or two ago, the NFL, you know, took over that Thursday night slot. And they don't give as many quality Thursday games. They still have them. Once in a while, you get ranked versus ranked or big rivalry games, and it happens. You know, which was the case last Thursday, or, you know, not really last Thursday, like, oh, so far ago, you know, last Thursday. But that was a decent game that NC State really showed me something. I thought that they played very well in that game. They ended up beating Louisville 39-25. There were a lot of drop passes. Maybe five or six of them. And, you know, it's one thing, you're going to have a drop pass, obviously. But kind of like I mentioned with turnovers, it's the timing and where they're at. And it seemed like it was either in the red zone or on third down to keep a drive alive, or even a big play that one of those where, you know, the announcer says he could have kept, he could still be running, that type of thing. And I thought that they just couldn't, Louisville couldn't get out of their way, whether it was defensive breakdowns or, like I said, drop passes. There was a late pick from Jackson. But otherwise, he played pretty damn good. He actually passed a record last week for overall scoring for Louisville history. He moves up to number one now in school history, as far as like responsible, you know, scoring, whether it's you pass or throw or whatnot. But that was a good game, and NC State, they looked really good. Now, you know, sometimes a team, especially when we're dealing with college students, can fool you a little bit because, you know, somebody plays good at home or whatever, they get hot for a couple of weeks or whatever. But I was wondering, because they did, speaking of South Carolina, and I didn't think we'd bring up South Carolina this many times at a college football show because, you know, they've been struggling lately, but that's their only loss, and they bounced back, you know, getting that win over Florida State a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it just kept that confidence going, but they did take an early loss, 35-28. In a game that they could have won. So I thought that was a really good game just to kind of finish up the recap, because technically, although that was this week, and you know what? Maybe I missed it. Did Oklahoma score? Because they're first and goal at the one. They just scored?
Yeah, they punched in and made the extra point. I guess I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to a podcast this week, and I'd heard them mention Iowa State. I thought the game was Iowa State. So when I turned it on and I saw, like, the red colors, I'm like, okay, this game's at Iowa, you know, in Ames. I'm like, this would be a
sure.
fun environment. And, of course, it sold out. I'm like, oh, crap, that's Oklahoma Stadium. I'm like, now Oklahoma really shouldn't lose this game. I mean, not to discredit Iowa State, but, like, Iowa State's kind of the team that is a pain in the ass at home, but normally they're not much of a menace on the road. So I think that makes it even a little more impressive to see how they've been performing. They've scored a touch on their last four drives in a row, knock on wood. So, yeah, tied up 31-31 with 7 minutes to go, bud.
And, you know, I saw it was on a commercial break, so I figured that was the case. But I was just looking at, you know, the late ESPN tracker that's always late. So I'm like, huh, they had to have scored. They had to have scored. 7:18 left in the game. Couple more things. Auburn, who now have found their offense. Gus Malzahn has found their offense again. I don't know where it went, but it's back. Well, a lot of it had to do with quarterback as well. But you'd think that, you know, a guy like him would be able to get some quarterbacks in that work his system nicely. But, you know, he did have a string. So he did have a nice little run of quarterbacks. So I guess I can't get on him too much. But anyway, that win that he got last week moves Malzahn, this is a home record, to 16-1. And I have parentheses job keeping. 16-1 when taking on an AP top 15 team. That's pretty damn impressive. Another stat from last week, Stanford running back Bryce Love piled up 301 yards to add to his total. He's almost at 1,100 yards. It's 1,088 through five games, and that's the fourth best total through five games. So that's pretty crazy. I think that's all I got from last week. Obviously, we're kind of filling you in as the game goes on here for that Iowa State-Oklahoma game that is tied up. I see Scott is in the fold now. I'm going to bring him in as well. We will get to some of these games, number 8 TCU versus number 23 West Virginia. West Virginia is ranked again. We'll see if they can hold on to it. Not an easy game to hold on to your ranking. That's for sure, against TCU, who looks like just a great team overall, or at least a pretty damn good team, I should say. Stanford at Utah, number 20 Utah. That's kind of an interesting Pac-12 game. A must-win scenario, definitely, for the Cardinals because of that rough September. I think they had back-to-back losses. That's something you don't really see much. Fun game between SMU and Houston. I actually have a little upset special on that game. Houston is a 6-point favorite. And like I mentioned, number 13 Miami at Florida State. In a bitter rivalry game, do not let that slow start from the Seminoles fool you. That might be a good, good game. And Miami, well, we'll get to it. But they, it's been a rough go in this rivalry. And the last handful of games have come down to little parts of the game where if they could have just done this or they turn that ball over, they just find a way to mess it up. But Dalvin Cook, the Hurricanes don't have to play, and he was just a killer, a Miami Hurricane killer. And by the way, I hope Dalvin Cook recovers fully from that injury because, man, he through a couple of games, he looked the part, every bit the part of what I thought my Minnesota Vikings were getting. The guy is a stud. So I'm really hoping he can come back from that. And also Kansas State versus Texas for me is like a can't-miss 50-50 type game. I can just envision it coming down to the final minutes. So we will start to break those games down. We'll keep you posted. It's still tied up in that Oklahoma-Iowa State game, which would be a huge, huge upset. Probably one of the biggest upsets of the year if it happened. I'm going to go ahead and bring in Scott into the fold, see what he's doing. What's going on, Scott, man? How you doing?
Fellas, what's going on, man? How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good, man. We're just kind of keeping one eye on this Oklahoma-Iowa State game, man.
Yeah, crazy. Hey, before we, obviously, and I was listening, love the college talk as always, but being a Lions fan, I do want to thank your Minnesota Vikings for that scrimmage last Sunday. Appreciate the practice reps.
No problem, man.
No, but in all seriousness, though, that injury looked bad because, you know, anytime a guy's not hit and makes a cut, you just pretty much assume he blew his knee out. And I was a huge fan of his at Florida State and actually wanted the Lions to draft him. So, yeah, man, hopefully, you know, with the greatness of modern technology, then he's back next year. But, yeah, like
that is
what's
troublesome, though. You're right. The fact that the no cut. I always think back to Jamal Anderson,
untouched?
You know, and I remember him saying, I'm good, I'll be back next week. It's just a little weird, you know, it just feels weird. But and then he just never really became himself ever again.
Yeah, it's never. It's crazy because you think of all the incredible violent hits and the size and the strength of these guys, that it's like the times when no one touches them that you just assume it's the worst, you know? Man, it's crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously they've improved the surfaces now, so now they got like the fake grass, but it's almost real grass. It's like a weave now, you know what I mean? Like it's hair, but it's not human hair type thing. So it's like they make improvements to it every year, but it's like you see these guys. I mean, this year, Julian Edelman versus the Lions, he just made a cut, and he made a cut. He's probably made literally in his life 500,000 times. And this time, for whatever reason, his knee gave out, you know, and he missed the season. So it's crazy. Hey, two things. The Big 12 teams play 11 people on defense. I've been meaning to ask you guys, because no matter it's like the other team just marches. Like, literally, Baylor, I was watching Baylor, probably because I might have bet some money on the over, but Baylor, when they played Oklahoma a couple weeks ago, and Oklahoma cannot stop Baylor. Like, Baylor's a whole new coaching staff, as we know. They've lost tons of players, you know, due to everything that's happened down there. And Oklahoma
what
still
happened there?
Stop them.
I must have missed that story. What happened at Baylor?
Just a little small stories, you know. It's just a coach that was a little shaky. The basketball team may or may not have kind of covered up a guy being shot, you know.
Yeah.
So this was a couple minor things, you know, kind of like what's going on with Louisville basketball. Really minor stuff, right?
Yeah.
But no,
just minor
so
stuff.
That game, for me personally, like I said, I mean, I was glad because I bet the over, but that was a huge red flag, you know, because, it's college, you understand, teams are sluggish for a half. But, like, it reached a point where Oklahoma couldn't stop Baylor. Not, like, what is Oklahoma doing wrong or, you know, they got a guy out or, you know, like I said, they just underestimated him. No, I mean, like, it reached a point where literally Baylor was doing anything that they wanted. And I'm sitting there watching this, like, dang, man, Oklahoma still has probably five good offenses to play. You know what I mean? So that's a huge red flag. And then now, you know, you're watching them against Iowa State. Literally, I mean, Iowa State, if anything, is slowing down now because I think they smartly just want to score last, you know? So,
yeah, you're right.
You know, Oklahoma's offense is loaded. It's as good as anybody's, but on defense, they got issues.
You know, speaking of injuries, to go back to your boys really quick, Scott, and obviously you never want anyone to get injured, but the kind of talk around the country has been, for your Michigan boys, do you feel that your backup quarterback, O'Korn, is maybe a better quarterback? Obviously, his Spade was the starter, but he did get injured, and in that Purdue game, and O'Korn took over. Is he maybe a guy that you have more faith in for your team? I mean, injuries aside, is he a guy you'd want in center over your guy Spade?
Oh, man, that's a good question. It's like, the immediate answer is yes, but then I start thinking like, well, I obviously don't watch practice, and I clearly have never coached big-time college football.
Sure.
And I don't know more than Jim Harbaugh, a guy who played quarterback and is one of the best quarterback coaches at any level in the world, right? I mean, the guy had saved Alex Smith's career at Kaepernick in a Super Bowl, you know what I mean? Recruited Andrew Luck, so he obviously knows what he's doing. I mean, hell, he was the quarterback coach for Ridge Gannon when he won league MVP, been on the Raiders. But it was literally night and day. I mean, Spade gets hurt. You know, O'Korn, I don't know if you guys know much of his story, but he started as a freshman in Houston, like a total spread attack, and he threw for like 3,000 yards, and he looked like he was poised to be one of those guys that puts up a bazillion stats and lasts like 2 weeks in the league, right? But they switch coaches, and then he basically transfers. He's been in Michigan. This is his third season, so he's been in the offense for 3 years. He played once last year. He looked absolutely terrible. But one thing, apparently one of my guys is a high school coach, and he goes to practices, and he said he looks like a new guy. Apparently he found his confidence. That was like over the summer. Michigan brought in a new quarterback coach who apparently he's bonded with. And, I mean, he literally looked five times better than this 2 weeks ago. Not, like, slightly better, like, five times better. And mind you, he didn't do anything miraculous. All he did was hit guys on crossing routes. All he did was hit them where they could catch the ball and run. Like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like he was throwing, like, you know, fade routes 30 yards downfield and doing no-huddle stuff. All he did was elude a little bit of the rush and hit guys on crossing routes. And with Michigan's defense, they gave up 10 yards in the
second half. That's all you have to do. Oh, wow. Touchdown,
wow,
Iowa
beautiful.
State on the fade route. Wow. 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 So, yeah. When
2:19
I
left.
Seven. Yeah, 2:19 left.
Which is plenty
know,
a lot of time,
college.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's college. I'll say that they're up six because you know how college kickers are. But just to finish the point is, yeah, I mean, he looked better in one half than Spate has all season. So with that defense, they literally need a quarterback who can do simple stuff. Like, you know, get them out of bad plays, hit guys when they're open, and don't throw on the triple coverage. So if he does that, he's a better option all day.
Now, are you going to be able to watch your team play today and be able to forget the flashbacks of, again, I had money on a game, you and I seem to enjoy that in common, of been on Michigan to win a game, and then you all tried to punt the ball and then punt the ball backwards and then fumble the ball and then let someone pick it up. Has that left your memory, or will that be flashback today before you face off against Sparty?
I didn't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
That dude who broke
oh,
his hip knows what he's talking about.
Who's that? No, I'm just joking. No, dude, I have men in black myself.
He blocked
from
it
that
out of
play.
His head, Chris. He blocked
oh,
it
yeah,
out of
yeah,
his
totally,
head.
Totally. I got that little silver thing from Men in Black for that play.
I was about to say.
For the Cordell Stewart Hail Mary, for when Larry Bird steals the ball, when Isaiah Thomas inbounded it. Yeah, all those plays get the Men in Black treatment. I just stare in the mirror, I flash myself, and it never happened.
Can you give me that for my Villanova Carolina? Because that still fits me. Please let me borrow that, sir. I need to borrow that from you. I'd really
yes.
I'll
yeah.
pay for shipping and handling.
Yeah. Give me your address, man. I got you. No, seriously.
All right.
That was so brutal because just for many, many reasons. I mean, obviously, any game you lose like that, but the fact that it's Sparty, the fact that it was Harbaugh's first year there, the fact that D'Antonio, he's actually a really good coach, but he's just like a complete douchebag. The fact that it's like any in-state rivalry, it's like in some ways it's the worst because you actually like have neighbors, family members, cousins, you know, people you work with. So thank God I don't live in Michigan anymore because that would have been brutal. I would have probably called off work Monday. But yeah. I mean, that was brutal, and there's a few mistakes made, but a couple things can be taken away from that game. Literally, Michigan State plays one of the most boomer bust defenses consistently, and I got to give D'Antonio credit on that. What he basically does is he blitzes the A gap, which you know I imagine almost everyone knows that, but basically both sides of the center. He brings both backers, and he figures over 12 weeks I'll probably play three good quarterbacks, right? And so if I shut down their team's run, and being in the Midwest where you know I'm telling you guys, eventually the weather's going to turn. He's going to be in every game. And he just is made – it's like an educated gamble. And he literally does that game after game. So when you watch them play against, like, a good quarterback or shit, just even a solid quarterback, they give up 400 yards passing. Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is because they are going to consistently bring heat. Pat Narduzzi was their defensive coordinator. You see him at Pitt. He did the same thing against Lamar Jackson. I mean, he gave up 500 yards passing because he just makes the gamble that if I hit your quarterback enough times, that eventually you'll make mistakes. So really, O'Korn, his whole job today, he doesn't have to be great, is just his pre-snap reads. To me, it would benefit them to break the huddle as early as possible so that they can get to the line of scrimmage, let Sparty do all their shifting, and someone's going to be one-on-one, whether it's a tight end on a safety, whether what Ohio State does versus them and killed them a few years ago is they put their best wide receiver in the slot because all Michigan State does is roll their safeties down for press coverage. So hopefully Michigan will throw to the tight ends and wide receivers versus their safeties. If they do that, they should win by 3 to 4 scores. If they don't and O'Korn gets shook, I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, it does seem with rivalries, even though the superior team it's appeared that normally the score never shows that. Like maybe all it takes is a Michigan State blocks a field goal and that gets momentum. Because
yep.
I mean, I clearly haven't watched those games as close as you have over the years, Scott. But I can say for Carolina and Duke basketball to parlay my biggest one of my biggest rivalries is. I mean, there's years where Carolina should win by 20 or Duke should beat us by 20, and then you never see that occur. All it takes is that one or two plays, because it is a rivalry. And when I have seen Michigan play Michigan State, those games normally aren't blowouts. So for your sake, I mean, I have no reason to cheer for Sparty. I hope you all win. But those rivalry games, all it takes is one big play, and all of a sudden you got a dogfight for 60 minutes.
Totally. And to your point, it's like you get the guy from Duke that's been shooting 19% from three, and then for whatever reason at home against Carolina, he starts the game 4-for-4. And, like, those are 12 unexpected points, you know? No, yeah, totally. And I mean, obviously, in football, you know, teams will scheme some stuff up, you know, like you practice for your rivals, you know, pretty much year-round. You know, you put in certain plays. Like I said, Michigan State's been gutted because they had a scandal. They had a couple kids that raped a player. They had one kid that called a teammate the N-word, and he left. And so, like they've had a bunch of drama, so they're probably down about 12 to 15 scholarship players. And mind you, I'm not saying that like Michigan's a juggernaut. I'm just saying it would take some Michigan mistakes to keep Sparty in the game. The thing is, Michigan's made those mistakes in three out of four games. So at some point, you are who you are. Michigan's O-line is just not that good. So Sparty should struggle versus our defense. Like I said, the number one thing they need out of a corner is just simple plays. You can go like 17 of 28 for like, you know, 195 yards, two touchdowns. Like, that would be great. Because literally, if they get some big plays, I wouldn't be shocked if it's more guys breaking a tackle than it is him throwing it 40 yards, if that makes sense. Because Sparty plays a ton of one-on-one. Like I said, they will put their safeties – Not their corners, their safeties, and on an island versus anyone. And versus Alabama, they get shredded, you know, versus Iowa, and it's a win. So Michigan knows what's coming. It may or may not rain. So, you know, obviously that'll be a little bit of a factor. But like I said, as long as Corn's good, we ought to win by, you know, I'd say like 31-14.
And speaking of that, Chris, for another Big Ten matchup, how do you feel – going into the week against Purdue, because I would say that's probably the second best game on the platter for the Big Ten schedule. You got your Gophers who are off to a very good start, and you probably have two of the best younger coaches in all
young
college football facing off today. How do you like your Gophers' chances against the Boilermakers today?
Well, this game has usually been, I think a couple of years ago, I think 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, there was a blowout. But other than that, it's been a pretty tight game. I remember probably actually during one of their better seasons when they actually had a chance to win the Big Ten West a couple of years back. I think it was really a kickoff return that was the difference in the game. I think it was like 24-17. So it's usually pretty good. I was impressed when I watched chunks of them this season for Purdue, saw that Michigan game, and I don't know, man, it'll be interesting. Right now, our secondary's a little thin. Coming into the season, the defensive line in the secondary was pretty thin. They had some issues last year. Some of them, you know, I don't know. It's over now, but I don't know if it was handled properly per se, but it is what it is. It definitely left us with some issues in the secondary, and we got a young quarterback that seems like he's doing he looked pretty good to me. It looks like they're going to be able to move the ball and whatnot, but I don't know. We were so, like, not deep at defensive tackle – the tackles in general, the nose tackle and defense tackle, that we literally had to just go to a 3-4 and just say, screw it. And, you know, we have our probably a decent cornerback. He's done for the season. Another guy that was playing minutes off the bench, he's done for the season. Winfield's not done for the season, but Winfield Jr. is out. They're saying he's not going to come back. And you could see a difference when he left the game.
For the season?
He's not for the season.
He's done for the season?
No.
Oh, okay, good,
no.
good. Okay.
He's not for the season.
Good, good.
But I don't think he's going to play. I doubt he's going to play here today. So I don't know, man. I really don't know, to be honest with you. The quarterback for us is he's all right. You know, he's a fifth-year senior. He played once. I think he played a game last year. And it was just because Leidner had gotten that concussion and stuff, and I think they threw the ball like 8 times, you know. So it's tough to say. I mean, I did like what I saw out of the offense a couple of games in the row, not necessarily the game one. That was pretty rough, but they ran the same play like 40-some times. So it was also Fleck just holding off on what he was going to show or whatever. But I don't know, man. I really don't know. I'm not that confident based off what I saw out of the quarterback play last week. And it's not just quarterback play. Like I said, some of the turnovers, one of them was on a wide receiver, was supposed to be our best wide receiver. He dropped the ball right near the goal line, and it popped and for an interception. They returned it a good chunk and ended up scoring on that drive. So they just kind of limit mistakes. I'll tell you this, though. I am looking forward to see the bounce back. You know what I mean? Off their first loss, I just want to see how they come out in play. So it is a very interesting game, and it is I hate to use it. I used it actually for boxing this week and also earlier this podcast, but it is kind of a crossroads game where you're like, all right, dude, you're at a point in your season where you took a L. You're playing a quality team. Wow. They're not a great team, but they're quality. And it's like, all right, cool. Now who's going to keep getting over that hump and continue with their season and win games they need to win? Comparatively, if you look at some of the games that the Gophers have come, November, because I think it's like 4 or 5 in a row. Oh, he almost picked that. Iowa State had a pick.
Yeah.
Man.
Hey, let me say two things. I wonder, does Iowa State plant a flag?
Yes.
And
yeah, right?
Yes. Bring up a great point because, what's funny? I literally had this discussion at work, Saturday? Probably on Wednesday. I was like, okay, you were just saying Minnesota's a little bit thin on the D-line and DBs. Well, Purdue, and I got to give it to them. First of all, they ran more misdirection in one half than I've probably seen in entire games, right? So what happens when you get tired? It isn't physical. It's just as much mental, right? So to me, what's going to be key – And come on, this isn't rocket science. Everyone always knows it's turnovers, but I'm really looking at third down in this game because if Minnesota can get off the field, it won't have an effect. But if Purdue has a bunch of short passes and they just stay on the field, right? They're able to just stay on the field. If your D line gets tired because they run so much screen and misdirection and rolling right to throw back left type plays. And like those are the plays that wear down a D line because when Michigan played them, they obviously had a bye following the game, but they also played a lot of freshman D linemen who hadn't played yet just for that fact. And mind you, Purdue was 0-for-13 on third down. I mean, so they only had like one quote unquote real scoring drive.
Wow.
The other 3 points
I didn't realize
got
that
off was off a
Jeez.
Yeah. 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 No. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. Dude, Purdue had 10 yards in the second half. So they were up 10-7. They had one drive, and then they got their 3 points off of an interception return, like in the Michigan territory. So I'm curious because if you guys can get off the field, that obviously bodes well for your depth, but that's the thing with teams like Purdue. People think of the spread, like they're not a running team. So, it really doesn't wear down your D-line, but it does because they run draws and reverses and screen after screen after screen. And if they stay on the field, you could see your D-line being tired in the third and fourth quarter.
Yeah, and Winfield is one of those. I was talking to you earlier this week talking about his dad and how he was like a fourth linebacker. I guess it'd be a fifth linebacker in our lineup, but he's like that.
That
he just has a nose for the ball. He has a nose for the ball. His son does. And it is funny that he literally he's already like coming in to high or college. He was already taller and bigger than his dad as a professional football player, which is crazy. It just blows my mind, but that kid can play. So I'm a little worried about that defensively. Usually we're pretty rock solid defensively these last handful of years. And then we just kind of, make do with what we have offensively. And what we have is two really good running backs. We're starting to see some talent at wide receiver, but we got to get to the tight ends. We have two tight ends. One is 6'10". We need to throw the ball. Yeah, I'm dead serious. And he's come along, too. It took him a little while, but now he's a senior. I believe he's a senior. And he's actually – he can catch the ball. So I look for just kind of four-yard pickup, seven-yard pickup, three-yard pickup. You know, not necessarily 3 yards cloud of dust, but somewhere in there and just grind it. And I think we got to play offense like that anyway because, like you said, to save our defense. And it is 100% official. It is 100% official. Iowa State got the job done. Oklahoma goes down. This is I mean, is this the biggest upset of the year so far? What else has been bigger? What did I miss? Am I missing something? I mean, I went over the University of Troy. You know, that's probably you know that was the second worst defeat in the last 40 years for LSU. And actually, someone's listening right now, and I probably shouldn't have said that. Because she's probably pissed off right now. But because she roots for him. So, but yeah, I think this is the biggest upset for, especially, you know, LSU, it's like, well, they're not going to go anywhere anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Whereas, you know, a top-tier team who's looked apart and got that big win, you know, over Ohio State, now they go down 38-31. First road win ever
at home
for the Cyclone against an AP top five team.
Yeah, that there is honestly, man, that's their defense. I mean, you know, 31 points isn't a ton of points in this day and age, but they, I think they fumbled inside Iowa State like 5 or 10. But and their secondary, and really this kind of makes you even look at JT Barrett more sideways. Their secondary just really struggles, and you know what's gonna be interesting too in that Minnesota game is because Purdue doesn't have much of a pass rush, even though they got a couple sacks against Michigan. A few of those are just like literally blown coverages. It wasn't like they were just moving guys out of the way, and that just to me speaks to how bad Michigan's offensive line is. But Purdue coming into that game and only had one sack. Now obviously they had played Louisville, so Lamar Jackson, you know, you probably don't blitz a guy like that a ton because you're so scared of him running. But I'll be curious because I think if you guys come out and mix up some play action, like throw on first, run on second, I think you guys would keep the ball away from them. Like I said, though, you got to give it to Brohm. Like, some of his play designs, some of the stuff he was doing was, like, I mean, the first play of the game, I think, was a reverse pass back to the quarterback, first play of the game. I was like, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, you know, usually teams want to wait a minute to set something up. So he basically calls a game like it's Madden, you know? He doesn't have any fear. So you guys got to be ready for that at all times.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what Fleck and company have. Like you said, it is a good matchup, or I think Marshall said that, good matchup of two young coaches, no doubt about it. Now, let's get to some games going on a little bit later today and tonight. Obviously, the big one as far as the marquee matchup, ranked versus ranked, number 8 TCU versus number 23 West Virginia. TCU going against, you know, we mentioned Clemson. Well, TCU is going against another ranked conference opponent. I think they were just, what is it, 2 weeks, 3 weeks removed from that Oklahoma State game where they just looked great in prime time two weeks ago. Statistically speaking, on paper anyway, this is the two highest ranked offenses. So assume some fireworks there. Now, I'd say West Virginia is very good. To, you know, good to very good on offense. I wouldn't call them great just because most of their high scoring games came against subpar, you know, competition. Both these guys both programs have quality coaches. They have solid quarterbacks right now. To me, TCU just has that ball rolling. They've played a tougher schedule. I think they're a better overall team on both sides of the ball. So I'm picking TCU, and actually, I got it down here as 40-27 in something like the fourth quarter. TCU just kind of breaks the game open a little bit.
I don't know if TCU covers. I think they're about 12 or 13 point favorite, but I can't pick West Virginia at all. I saw, like, last week, Kansas's running back rushed for, like, over 300 yards against West Virginia. If you allow a player from Kansas football to rush over 300 yards to me, I will never in God's name promote you until you can resolve your problem. I know that Kansas is getting slightly better, and they lost today to Texas Tech, which I thought was good, but screw Kansas. If you can't stop a Kansas running back, you're not going to win a football game.
You know what this is, Scott? It's North Carolina Tar Heel basketball is what we're going with, just so you know. No, I'm
but
just kidding. Kansas
no,
does
no.
Stuff.
But it's the truth.
No, it's
but
totally
it's the truth.
The
Marsh, I love it. Hey, and less is the Kansas Comet in 1950. It was at Gale Sayers back in the 60s. I'm with you, man. That's a crazy stat.
Hey, Mason, Glenn Mason had that program turned around. I'm just going to put that out there, okay? He had that squad
Mason's
turned around.
Mason's a good
around.
Coach. He always has. He's a terrible commentator, but he's a good coach.
Can't find a defense to save his ass, but he is a very good coach. If you
can
stop the run, you'll stop his offense, but he is a very good coach. You're right.
He's like the Marty Schottenheimer of college football, you know?
Yeah.
Here's a game that maybe isn't quite as entertaining to watch.
Well, hang on.
Let's
pick the thing. Let's not just jump.
Oh,
pick.
Okay.
Let's get some predictions then. We know your prediction, TCU.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm with Marshall. Even though my dad is born and raised in West Virginia, and, you know, he's a Mountaineer through and through. That's God's country. I'm with Marshall. But I like Hill. And I just like TCU, period. You could argue right now that they may be the favorite to win the Big 12. So, yeah, man, I'm going with TCU.
What happened today?
Huh? You said what?
Go ahead, Marshall. I said, especially with what happened today, you can definitely, that helps them tremendously.
Yep. Totally.
Well,
no, I agree.
With the game that's about to kick off, the game so much maybe won't be that enjoyable to watch, but I've been completely lost from the betting part. Florida opened up -3 against LSU and then went up to 6, and then it got hammered back down to 3. And now today, LSU is a 1-point favorite. That game is literally kicking off as we talk here. How can you – I mean, unless there's something all the Vegas, like Sharks and all that we don't – I don't know how you can bet an LSU team to go win on the road in Florida. And Florida's not great, but they beat Vandy and they've looked okay. I mean, I just don't see how the whole world is betting LSU. Maybe I'm missing something and maybe I'll be a fool when we do our show next week, but – I just bet Florida. I can't bet an LSU team that just got waxed at home by Troy, and then you expect them to go beat Florida. Normally I don't disagree with Vegas much, but I'm lost today with this one, guys.
And you know what? So am I. That's why I'm not touching it, because when there's that much movement, I feel like there's something. I don't know if there's a ref. I don't know if there's a flu bug. Someone found out about running through Florida. You know what I mean? Like, that just scares me off of a bit. And it's crazy because I'm with you totally, because here's the thing to me, right? It isn't that they lost to Troy. It's that Troy lined up in the I formation and ran down the throat. Like, again, we discussed it just a couple weeks ago. When's the last time you saw this happen to LSU? Well, it's happened like 3 times this year, and they still got to play like Bama, and I think they got to play Georgia still. So we discussed this weeks ago. I thought Ed Orgeron, or however you say his name, was the worst hire in college football last year. I think that LSU is a top 7 job, and there's no way in hell I'm going to give him the job. And it's funny because Michigan fans are calling him Cajun Brady Hoke. I think that is utterly hilarious. but no, he has all those sentiments up. He's just like a rah-rah cheer guy. But at the end of the day, football, for as much, you know, as much as about physical gift and speed and all that stuff, it's still a very tactical game. I mean, each play is its own battle, right? And like, You can either coach, remember, you can't. He's been a head coach before in the very same league and flamed out. You know, he does well as an interim coach because I think a lot of that's just about appealing to the pride of the players. I think that LSU is in for 2 or 3 miserable years, and then once his buyout goes down a little bit, he'll finally be fired. That's just my personal opinion.
Isn't his buyout something completely outrageous? I heard it on the
$12 million.
$12 million. Yeah.
Smart man. Yeah. Who's
completely
his agent? Very smart agent there. Wow. That's crazy.
Drew Rosenhaus? Jerry Maguire? Seriously. I don't know, man.
Something. That is, man. Wow. That's crazy. Unbelievable. There is a game later tonight on the West Coast. Stanford at number 20, Utah. This is a big, big game. Obviously, Utah unbeaten. I won't say completely untested, but we're going to get a feel of where they're at, even though Stanford – that's why I think it's actually a must-win for Stanford because of that back-to-back, you know, September losses. Stanford has to find some sort of production outside of Bryce Love that they need to. This game for me comes down to – well, I mentioned, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust and kind of that hard-nosed throwback game. That's generally what these two teams can play anyway. But I really think it'll come down to ball control. Whoever has the time of possession will come away victorious. I actually have Stanford winning 20-16 in just a minor upset. But I don't even know on the books if it's an upset. Stanford might be favored.
Hey, let me ask you guys really quick. Is Utah's quarterback playing? Is he healthy? I know he got dinged up.
Yeah, from what I know, he is. I'll check, but I think so.
Okay, gotcha. Hey, really fast, Matt. I agree. I think that's an underrated game. I think it's a completely non-Pac-12 game, and by that I mean it could be actually low scoring. You know what I mean? It's weird because Stanford is very almost like a West Coast. I won't say Wisconsin because I think Wisconsin has adapted somewhat. You know, like they have an identity, but I'm with you that it's like they're all run. And you want to hear something crazy? One of my guys from L.A. and like he knows a lot of high school guys. You guys maybe even already know this. I didn't know that Rosen apparently wanted to go to Stanford. That was his first choice, and they kind of slow played him. Because if they had Rosen, I think they could be a top-five team. Because I realize he's a gambler and turns the ball over. But if he had that running game and offensive line, I actually think he'd be a much more efficient player. And I think they'd be like a top-five team, really. Because, I mean, they just have no passing attack. None.
I bet he didn't have the grades to get in there, though, Scott. That's what you're missing is that there. He didn't have good enough GPA.
That's what it was?
It. Resentment against, you know, the Bama and the grades and GPI. I bet that was it. Now, that's unconfirmed sources, but that's my take.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, because UCLA is not a breeze to walk through. They don't just SEC in. You know what I mean?
It's still a solid school. Well, but like Stanford, I mean, that's one of the things is they can't even offer a kid till he's accepted. So that's why, like, you know, when people talk about early signing period, Stanford's like, we don't really care about it because if you haven't gotten into school anyway, you know, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, that would be a difference, though, big difference maker. And I do think they would contain him, and what they'd ask him to do wouldn't be chucking the ball all over the field only when they need to. That's a little bit of a surprise, too, because you'd think that he'd be like, nah, I'm good, dude. I want to chuck it. But then again, luck did go there, different system or whatever, different coach, but he had some
similar
success
system,
there.
Though.
They threw the ball.
It was almost the same
very
system,
similar.
You know what I mean?
I did check it.
A similar way.
It appears that Utah's quarterback is doubtful. Obviously, that's from scores. Absolutely. I guess not looking too good for the 2 cents on that.
I mentioned this. I mean, that's huge, obviously. Just, you know.
And I had mentioned this game earlier to Chris. Scott, now we need to have a huge breakdown of it because I don't think the matchup's good, but from a gambling point, which we all enjoy, I know it's crazy to take Bama -25.5 on the road, but Texas A&M is afraid to run their freshman quarterback. He's not really a throwing quarterback. I kind of like taking Bama. I mean, I'm normally 25 points. I don't see how A&M is going to move the ball on a Bama defense, and Texas A&M's defense, well, we know that they got issues. So I kind of like a 25-point favorite, as rare as that is for me to say out loud normally.
No, I actually totally agree with you. And it's funny because when I first – like, that was the first line I checked all week is much out of curiosity than anything, you know, because obviously Bama's outscored the last two opponents by what, like 100-3 or something crazy like that? No, like 115-3.
Seriously, it's been pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I was looking at. And, like, yeah, it is road, but here's the thing about it. To your point, a freshman quarterback, right, is probably going to be under siege. I got to figure for every – let's just say he can – he does have some talent. Let's say that he can generate 14 points, okay? Mind you, I'm just throwing that out there. I can't imagine a scenario where he doesn't also lose them 14. You know what I mean? So
sure,
I just
right.
can't imagine him being better than a break even. So then at that point, all I need is Bama's offense to essentially get you 28 points. And I have no doubt that they will. So to me, I think it's a really good bet, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if that's all, you know, you guys always look at a bet, but like that's how, like I always think, like, especially young quarterback playing against a team that's that dominant, a team that's going to be jumping the ball. And then also, we already know how Bama is. They score off special teams like crazy, block punts, punt returns. So I just can't imagine Bama scoring less than 35 points, right? And so if I go by that premise, I'd be shocked, you know, if Texas A&M, unless it was garbage points, I'd be shocked if they scored more than 10 to 14. So to me, it's a good bet.
And then
I see the
Michigan's a 10.5 point favorite. So I'm guessing you mentioned you think they could win by two or three touchdowns. Maybe I'll join you and reverse my jinx 2 years on. But
hey, keep in mind though, check the weather before you bet because there's supposed to be storms. And so you know Midwest weather, man, night game, Midwest. I mean, like I said, they should. I would see the game, honestly, like a 31-10 game. That's what it feels like to me. Like I said, just looking at – I've watched a couple of Michigan State games. Notre Dame, they really didn't have a passing quarterback, and they were able to move the ball on them. Michigan State turned the ball – Michigan State's quarterback is talented, but he's just really young. And I think he's going to have a hard time. He may have success some in the first quarter, but just he tends to hold the ball and, like, never let a play die. And while that's effective if you're, you know, a veteran, you know, like Aaron Rodgers or something like that, but just, I think it's only like a 6th start, first on the road. He broke his leg against Michigan last year. You know, that is rivalry game. So I wouldn't be shocked if he made a play or two. But he's also the leading rusher. But also wouldn't be shocked if he also forced the ball or had a sack fumble, you know. So 10 points in a rivalry to me is a lot. So, you know, just me personally, I wouldn't touch it. But the Bama – I'm going to join you on that.
And Chris, I know you mentioned it. I'm surprised you didn't lead off the show with it because I know you're love and passion for this. Maybe I was sleeping for a second, but who do you like winning in the Miami-Florida State? I mean, I know you want to.
I've mentioned it twice. You're sleeping at the wheel. I've mentioned
but
it twice.
Did you give an official
but
lock
he didn't make
over
a, pick,
or,
though.
Or a winner?
He didn't make a pick, though, did he?
We just started our pick segment here, guys. We just started the peg segment now. Do you want me to just start talking her? I'll say this, though. My Gophers are already down a touchdown. But a little glass half full here, they missed the extra point. So we got that going for us, you know, which is
what
nice.
What channel is that?
Which is nice.
Is that on Fox? Or is that on ESPN?
I think it's ESPN2. ESPN2.
Got it. Just found it, yep.
6-0, just like that.
Yep, wow, 6-0, okay. You guys ready to give up
yeah.
two field goals? No, I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, right? I wish. Well, actually, I don't, because that'd be two drives or a turnover, potentially. So I just saw, like, a 20-yard pass, and it didn't look like the guy was wide open. We got a nice hit on the quarterback, though, so maybe we can knock him
yeah,
out of the game.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Maybe that's what we're going for.
Yeah, he's 2 for 2 for 22 yards. So I'm wondering, did you guys turn the ball over?
I don't know.
Because you had it first.
I don't know. I literally.
You guys had the ball first.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. What I do know, though, is Florida State has just owned,
hey, really
owned
fast,
this
Minnesota.
Go ahead.
Punted for a yard. That's what happened. He must have shanked it or got it partially blocked. Yeah, so.
It doesn't
Sorry
say
about
block.
That,
and it doesn't say block.
It just says punt. It says three plays. Yeah, well, no, hold up. Three plays. Didn't rush for no gain. And then it just says, like, punt. That's all it says. So, you
wow,
know how it is on
yeah.
ESPN.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. It's like punt.
Maybe
okay.
the punter tried to run the ball. maybe the punter said, I see a gap, I'm going for it, then he got tackled for a one-yard rush.
No, here it is. He punted for 11 yards. So.
See, dude, you're taking away credit, man. Gosh.
I apologize. He punted for 11 whole yards.
Man,
so Canadian
that
first
is
down.
Something. Yeah, right? Gosh, that's not a good look. That's not a good look at all. That sucks. So that kind of makes me feel a couple of different ways. But back to this, the Seminoles has just – it's seven in a row, and it's tied for the longest streak in this rivalry. And, you know, it just seems like I mentioned – because remember, Marshall, I mentioned Delvin Cook even. I even talked about the running back.
Yep.
That's how much I talked about this game so far. But those 3 years with him there, I mean, talk about a Canes killer. I mean, he just would dominate the Canes. And, you know, this year, just like last year, the offensive line has come out looking pretty damn trashy for Florida State. I don't know if I've ever labeled an offensive line trashy before, but I just did. And I just can't see how the front seven doesn't somehow, ugly or not, win the game for the Canes. They just have to be able to accomplish that. Because you just got to do it. Now, who knows? Maybe they'll be ultra, you know, aggressive, and it'll work against them, and they'll give up a few big plays, and that'll be the difference of the game. I could see that for a win for Florida State, that happening. But other than that, I'm pretty confident that the Canes are going to break the streak. I just think defensively they may give up some yards early, or just yards in general. Sometimes they're a bend that don't break, but they can get after you, whether it's sacks, whether it's tackles for loss. I think last week they gave up 17 and a half tackles for loss or something like that, 17, 18 or something.
Jesus.
Florida State did. So they're
record,
struggling.
Right?
Yeah, and they also have, like, you know, the rookie quarterback too, who's got a big arm, is probably not that bad, but he's just, you know, it's just like last year.
Plus
when
he weighs 19
young...
pounds.
Exactly.
He weighs 19
he pounds. He's brittle, dude. He is very – he's like Michael Cooper in the 80s.
Dude, yeah.
But he's a –
Cooper
looks
like
was a
Snoop
basketball
and,
player.
No, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks like Snoop. Seriously, he's like that skinny.
That's actually a perfect – he does look like Snoop. Well, let's test him. Let's see if you fail a drug test and get him out of the game right now. But I like Miami to get the job done. You know, could they break open the game in the second half? Maybe, but I don't even want to jinx it. I don't care if it's 22-21. I don't care if it's -5 to -4. I don't care if we beat them by 2 points, 2-0. That's fine with me. The Hurricanes need to get their offensive line. Is just, like I said, too trashy. It's just not good enough. They need to take advantage of it. And Joe Jackson will have something to say about that coming off the edge. So I like my Miami Hurricanes to get the job done against their bitter rival. How's that for you, Marshall?
I appreciate that. I wanted you to pick a winner. I know you did talk about it, but I just wanted to hear a lock. And I'm with you, Chris. I think after watching – Florida State's young quarterback, I mean, he lost to NC State. He almost lost to Wake Forest. I think that you guys will get the job done today. You can snap that rivalry. And maybe by the end of the year, Blackman will be a little more developed. But I think, to get a little XL and technical, I think that he's so labeled or limited that their play calling's not too crazy, and that just kind of keeps your offense kind of, like, boring and blah. Like, last week, Florida State's running backs were running super hard, but anytime Florida State had to pass the ball, there was no confidence. And like you said, the offensive line, maybe the quarterback is holding the ball for too long. It's just their offense hasn't gotten into a rhythm yet. So I'm with you. I hope Miami pulls off a win. Then we'd see Florida State go to 1-3, and I'm not going to be upset about that at all, because they're, you know, Scott had said that D'Antoni is a douche. I think Jimbo Fisher's a prick. So we'll keep ripping on coaches this week, and I'll back that. Yeah.
I love it.
And by the way, on the first series, Ken Norton, one of the defensive tackles, got to the quarterback, and he played air guitar with his leg. There's a video going on right now. I just want to throw that out there. I just retweeted it. So it's a good sign for the Canes. They're playing air guitar with Snoop Dogg's leg.
I like it. Go
ahead, Scott.
Oh, no. I'm just going to throw in, I'm with you guys. Canes all the way. Just for all the reasons you guys already said, Florida State's offensive line is in shambles, and I think that poor kid's going to get killed. And I love the turnover chain. I don't care. It's the greatest thing going in college football right now, the turnover chain. So I got the Canes.
So many funny how many blogs came out saying, oh, the players are getting paid. It's like, dude, well, first of all, they are. But second of all, that's not breaking news. You know what I mean? But it's not because of the turnover chain. Like, there's a couple people, like, at work was like, dude, what the hell's going on with Miami? I'm like, dude, it's the turnover chain. What are you guys, stupid? Like, come on, man.
Like you think a guy's getting ready, getting his uniform ready and everything. Like, oh, where's my chain? Like, no, you know,
hey,
like, come on, man.
You think the coaches are going to let him wear a big old chain like that, a Cuban link? Like, come on, dude.
I know. Dude, but I absolutely love it. First time I saw it,
I started
laughing. I think I tweeted it and I love
perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Yeah, totally.
I was going to say, I think for a West Coast nightcap, you got a good game with Washington State at Oregon. Obviously, Washington State, they finally go on the road the first time this year. They're coming off a little bit of extra rest because they beat my USC Trojans. But, I mean, I give them credit. That was a full-out win. They beat them fair and square. And now they go to Oregon. I'm not sure if you were on the show quite when I talked about Oregon last week, Scott, but, man, with their starting quarterback, I can't think of his name, that offense just diced up California play after play after play, and he broke his collarbone, so he's out. So now you have a backup, and from watching him for the rest of that game, he's not quite as good. I guess I'm a little bit torn on this game. You have a spread offense against an offense that's going to try and pass the ball 30 to 40 times a game. Obviously, Leach is an incredibly smart head coach. I'm going to go with Washington State to win just for kind of a flip and a quarter. I think this could be potentially one of the better games of the day. What do you guys think? Maybe lean with Washington State being as hot as they've ever been to start off a season, or you maybe like Oregon at home because – 3-4 years ago, they used to have probably one of the, I would say, best home field advantages in football. What is your guys' breakdown for this matchup tonight?
Go
ahead, guy. You can take it.
You know what? Yeah. Just mine will be brief. I watched Oregon in person a couple weeks ago. We discussed that. The quarterback, it's just so funny watching, especially some of these no huddle teams, man, in person, because you can kind of see the play develop because they run probably only like six different plays, right? But they just run them over and over and over, and they just flip the sides of the field. Think Oregon's quarterback's talented. He's just young, and, like, you could see him processing stuff slow. But Oregon's defense didn't impress me at all in that game. I mean, Arizona State has some legitimate next-level talent. They can just never seem to put it together. But I was kind of shocked at how little of a pass rush Oregon got in that game. So I'm going to be curious because obviously, you know, playing against Washington State, you know that they're going to deal the ball all over the place. They throw a million, like, quick screens. And if they're not either able to bat the ball down or at least get hits on the quarterback, I just can't imagine that this game isn't like a 42-38 game, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. Isn't that quarterback banged up? Is he playing?
I believe he is.
Okay. Is it like Hubert or something like that for Oregon?
Yeah, for Oregon.
Their first string's out. He broke his collarbone last week. So they got it's like Hobby or Bobby or Haby or something. Yeah, the Oregon's first-string quarterback, like I said, in the first quarter of the game last week, looked like on fire, but
that's
he broke
right.
his collarbone, so he's done for the season.
I didn't realize it was that serious of an injury. Well, I'm not going with Javi or Hoovy or whoever the hell is the backup. but it is a 1.5. You know, I got this category called safe bet, and seems like that's a safe bet. 1.5 without your starting – without Javi or with playing with Javi instead of Herbert? I don't know, man. I mean, obviously Oregon's going to have to run the you-know-what out of the ball. They do average a lot per game. I think it's – let me look real quick – 260, which is, you know, a whole lot. And Washington State only rushes for 80, but they throw for 414, so they're not necessarily trying to rush the ball. Like you said, it's a lot of quick stuff. It's not all just down the field, although they can quick strike. And for me, I just think Washington State has gotten better. You know, that Boise State game earlier this year, I think it was their second game. Yeah, it was 44-47, triple overtime. It just seems like since then, they've really taken off, coming in with that confidence over such a really, like, pretty sound offense in USC, containing that. I like Washington State, and I think it's a safe bet to me. I mean, I look at the point spread, and I'd be all over that.
I guess the road factor is a little bit of a scary part. But yeah, Luke Falk is healthy for Washington State, and like you boys, so we've all said, Washington State normally doesn't get held under 30 points. It's a pretty long chance. I mean, Chris, your defense is all over it. I got the Florida game on and the Miami game on, and you guys are tipping passes left and right. Now, you also just had a lay down the quarterback, which isn't good, but.
Well, you know what? That's how you know Miami's back. They got the turnover chain and they're late hitting the quarterback. That's definitely a good sign if you're a Miami fan.
God bless America. Everything is right in the world again. No, you're right. I mean, that's just putting in work for later. So, you know, Snoop Dogg gets out of the game. That's all.
Exactly.
Hey, just
well,
sacked
for
him again.
USC, for my team, if we lose this week, I'm gonna take a week off. They're a 33-point favorite against Oregon State.
No, there's no way they lose.
I just want this to be a game where we let backups play a lot. I mean, one of the reasons we did lose last week is because half our team is injured. So I'm hoping this is get up early, let people rest game. I know that USC did lose one of their offensive linemen for the season. I didn't know. Granted, he's going to be a little biased, but when I watched the Texas game, the announcers talked to T. Martin. He said that all USC linemen are very good potential chance of being drafted in the NFL. So to lose three in a game is brutal. To lose one for the year is awful. I'm just hoping USC can use this as a get healthy week, because if they can win out, they're still going to be dancing and chance to make it good. So. Just hoping for an injury-free, hopefully easy coast-to-victory kind of game for the Trojans. And Missouri, just don't give up 50. That's it.
Hey, really fast, as far as USC, I mean, obviously those injuries are brutal because, you know, we can talk strategy and all this other crap. I mean, look, starters are starters for a reason, right? So when your best players get hurt, I mean, best O-lineman, it is what it is. To me, I just don't get it for the life of me. I get it. Darnold's got the hype, and he could be a top-five pick. USC's running backs are nice as hell. They've got to run the ball more. Seriously, like, oh, touchdown Minnesota.
Yes, sir. I got an interception.
Nice. But, yeah, for the life of me.
Gave us good.
But I don't get it. USC's got to just run the ball. They have two really good backs, and, run, play action. I mean, just keep it simple. You'll use clock. Like you said, just get out of there as healthy as you can. And the whole season's still right in front of them.
Oh, just something I just saw. Iowa State's win today, they did that with a third-string quarterback in Oklahoma. That wasn't even first string.
Oh, I know that.
Iowa State was on their third-string quarterback today. That
good.
Makes that win over OU even sweeter. Holy cow.
I only saw probably the whole the last little bit of third and the whole fourth, and he looked sharp. I never would have known that he was third string. That's impressive.
Yeah, speaking of USC has two.
He was real calm after the game, too. I saw the interview, like him just on the field and stuff. He was like he was supposed to do it or something.
USC had two running backs. Unfortunately, the stud, one of them couldn't even play because he was hurt for their last game. So, because I know against Stanford in California, they both played, but then one of them dinged up his ankle. So I think it's Jones and Carr. And one of those guys was even hurt against Wazoo. So I just give me
one
week of healthiness.
Yeah, one of them had that long run. That was Jones, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And then Carr was hurt last week. So maybe just rest up and get healthy and get a win and survive
totally.
In advance the next week.
Win ugly. Yeah, no, totally. Win ugly. Like you said, just get a lead, play a bunch of freshmen. No one cares about stats and all that crap. If you win 35-24, you win 35-3. Just get a win, get home, rest up. Because, like I said, you guys have the meteor schedule still to come, no matter how good you recruit. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, people point to, like, Ohio State when it went third-string quarterback. Yeah, but everyone else on the team was healthy. Still had Ezekiel Elliott there. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are banged up on multiple fronts. That's just crazy. Sometimes it's luck, honestly. Like, we can focus on all this crap, but sometimes it's just luck. Like, guys hit each other every play, and sometimes guys get right up, and, like, you know, like we mentioned earlier, sometimes guys aren't even touched, you know, and they get hurt. So sometimes it's luck, you know. You got
to
recruit good class after good class after good class.
Yep. You can't lose many games either in college football. You're right. A lot of times it just comes down to luck and injury and all that.
When you play,
my Gophers
team,
are up 7-6 now.
Yep, but look at it like this: when you play a team, is everything, right? Because if you play USC week two versus now, and there's so many guys hurt, right? It's a totally different team. So
right. That's
what I'm saying is if USC opened with Washington State, they probably win by two scores. You know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying is like when you play them on a Friday night on the road. You know, it's like to me that's what makes the sport incredible, but also why sometimes you can't just look at everything, you know, oh, my God. Honestly, if anything, it makes what Saban's done even more incredible because it's like, you know, just any given year,
that's
guys
sure.
get hurt, guys leave early, guys transfer, some guys don't pan out, you know, and for whatever reason, the dude, like, is what? He's won four at Bama, right?
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. He's won four national championships in, what, a 10-year period or 12-year period. It's nuts.
When you have Lane Kiffin to bring you one ring, that does help a lot. I'm just saying.
Valid.
That.
Very good point. Very good point. So really, it's three and an asterisk.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll take
exactly.
that.
Exactly. We don't even know. We're gonna find out in a couple of years that won't count. He raised his hands too early in the play or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was gonna say, we have to talk about Lane Kiffin, and then we have to do the crafty pick of the week, unless you guys want to talk about anything else. We should start to wrap this puppy up.
I do think Florida Atlantic goes on the road and wins today against Old Dominion, and Kiffin gets another win for the Owls. I'll say that to get my quota set at two. Scott set me up with a perfect layup there mentioning Bama and Saban. So, I'm besides that, I'm good. I do have a god-awful game to preview to you boys here in a little bit, too.
What about you, Scott? You got any final words before we get to the crafty pick, the god-awful pick of the week?
I just love that we're getting to the meat of conference play, you know, because not to sound cliche and all that, but, you know, not every schedule's created evenly, obviously, and so some of these teams beat up on a bunch of nobodies, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, they're so stout, they're so this, but once you get into conference play,
exactly.
teams can play year after year, scout year after year, we get to see who is who is what is what. That's why, you know, as a Michigan fan, I'm not talking crazy because our offense is soggy trash and we're pretty much on one side of the ball. But, yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how this – I mean, outside of Bama, and you probably would have said Oklahoma, but outside of Bama, probably Clemson, every other league is up for grabs. I mean, seriously. And if Florida State was healthy, you might think that they could at least challenge Clemson. But Clemson looks like they're, you know, you could probably pretty much – put him in the books as being a Final Four. Bama does as well. Beyond that, Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, they all look like completely up for grabs, and I hope that leads to an epic season.
Yeah, well said. It is up for grabs, no doubt about it.
Well, we are going to the Carolinas again. This week we have a beautiful matchup at Brooks Stadium in Conway, South Carolina. We have the Georgia State, I think they're the Panthers, against the Coastal Carolina, and they're like the there's some kind of really weird name bird that it's like the chicky they're a weird name bird. Anyways, yeah, Georgia State going to South
the
Coastal
chickpea?
Carolina. The something I'm like, yeah, it's a very unique name bird. I'm not sure how the hell they named their school that. But Georgia State is a 1-point favorite, so they are a road favorite. The line did open at 2.5, and people said, well, we're going to push it down to -1. So Coastal Carolina is 1-3 on the year. Georgia State's 1-2 on the year. At Brooks Stadium, games at 5:30 on ESPN3. So if you want to watch this game and you got a Roku or Apple TV, you know, get your popcorn ready. What do you boys think about this incredible matchup at 5:30?
This is an incredible matchup. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I just don't know. And you say that the road team is the favorite, right, by 1? Is that true?
Yeah.
Georgia?
Yep, Georgia State's favored by 1 on the scores app. Yes, sir.
Georgia State is averaging 12.7 points a game, but they're the favorite. That is nuts. Although the team they're going against,
wow,
the weird bird thing, 40 points they're giving up. They're also giving up. Well, they're doing pretty good on the rush. I'll give them that. It's only 179. That's not bad. And they run, man. This is pass against the run. This is tough, man. Pass against the run. Let's see. They're coming off Coastal Carolina, coming off a rough game, 51-43. They're coming off a loss to Louisiana Monroe, which we're very familiar with, aren't we, Marshall?
Yes, sir.
This is a good one. This is a good one. Georgia State coming off strong. Actually, they're coming off a bye week, too. That did it. I mean, when an offense averages 12 points a game and they're coming off a bye week, you know that they've installed some more offense. So I'm going with the road dog. I'm going with Georgia State, the Panthers, or whatever the hell that thing is. That's what I'm going
with. Yeah, it's a Panther. Hey, man, I did get word Petey Pablo will not be at this game. So, FYI, it's a little bit of a downer. Apologize
man,
to anybody out there.
He must be on a world tour.
Live in the
He's traveling the world.
yeah, definitely. So, anyone that's out there tailgating in their Winnebago listening to us live, much to their chagrin, I'm going to go with Georgia State as well. The quarterback, he's the sixth Manning. I think it's going to be a difference maker. One thing to keep in mind is, you know, this is coming from the mighty Sun Belt Conference. Georgia State actually played a pretty good schedule. And
yeah,
I got to be willing to think that their facility should see an upgrade the next couple of years because they've gone on the road and got pounded. They got Memphis after this game, which the way it's looking at it is a home game. So I'm not sure how they got Memphis at home. They're not in the same league.
They just put
so
70 up, too, Memphis did last night or whatever.
Yeah. Memphis got shut down by Central Florida, but Memphis put up 45 on UCLA and put up 70 on UConn.
Yeah.
So I think this might be a little bit of a trap game for old Georgia State, or you can see it as they also know that they got to have it because next game they're probably going to give up 70. So I think Georgia State and the fighting unclaimed Manning kid pulls out a narrow victory on a fake punt. I look for a big special team trick play to be a deciding factor in this game.
There you have
it. I mean, it's I said it's on ESPN3, so I don't see how you can't watch that. It's not like there's any other good games on today at all. So. I think we had a Florida State taunting penalty. A Florida State guy was running down the field, laid out a Hurricane DB trying to tackle, and then you had about the whole bunch or bench jumping. I don't know. So there's flags going on. As Scott said, if there's lots of flags in a Miami-Florida State game, you know the rivalry is at 100%.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell
yes.
you what. Three possessions, three punts, three plays each time. Three plays, 3 yards, punts. Three plays, 9 yards, punt. Three plays, 5 yards, punt. Well, looks like that Florida State defense showed up today. That's one thing that they still have, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of team speed. They got a really good safeties, a couple linebackers. But you would assume throughout the game, eventually Florida's going to make that young quarterback make a mistake.
Right. That's what I'm banking on.
Wow. Oh, my God. LSU had a guy open by 27 yards, and they missed him. That's completely so LSU.
I just saw that, too.
Jesus. Yo, there's so many games on right now. It's insane. Maryland, Ohio State just started. Notre Dame, North Carolina. I didn't even know that they were playing. Hopefully, North Carolina wins just because it's Notre Dame.
Right.
And I love seeing Brian Kelly have an aneurysm on the sideline. That's always good.
Speaking
yeah,
of that, I think
yeah,
he fits under that category as well.
Absolutely. Well,
yeah, totally.
On that note, as Scott just said, we got about five games to try and watch at once right now. So I think that's a good note to wrap up the show.
Wrap it up.
For those of you listening who did have the Chiefs over and the point spread last week for Monday night, the gambling gods came in for you.
Oh, my God.
And I turned it off, and it was only a small bet, but I had the minus 6.5, and I saw him kick the field goal. I'm like, whatever. And then all of a sudden my buddy starts texting me like crazy and turn it on to see Kirk Cousins in a forward lateral pass and a backward pass and a scoop up, and it's like, holy cow. So, you know, Vegas is one thing. Fantasy football matchups were like that when Vegas bets were taking over Twitter. So that was one of those oh my God moments, I guess, for if you're a gambler. It either killed you or helped you, but kind of why we like sports.
Brutal beat. What a brutal beat.
Yes, or a miraculous win. I guess a lot of people in Vegas were like claiming they lost their ticket this week. I'm not sure. I guess I didn't know you were able to put in for – I'm not sure how that process goes. If you ripped up your ticket for that game and claimed you made a bet, I don't know what the standings are for filing that. Maybe you have to, like, write down your ticket number. But, you know, if you ripped up a ticket, screw you. You don't deserve to cash a bet anyways. On that positive –
Exactly.
we'll all be back next week. I'm praying for a miracle Missouri win because that might be the only time we get to talk about that to Chris and Scott this year. And hopefully Scott's boys come through with a rivalry victory along with Chris's. So we can talk about a Hurricane Wolverine victory to cap off the show next week along with USC. As always, we enjoy
yes,
all our listeners. Hopefully the weather's not been too bad for you in your area. The Vegas story last week, there's always so much negativity. So hopefully there's a good, safe week for our country along with weather and nothing crazy happening. We love you listening to our podcast. We enjoy it as much as you can imagine. Have a good week. Enjoy the six great football games on right now and watch a fun night cap. And the boys will be back next week. Take care.